We're in a bit of a transition in the Word. We're in some sense, ending a journey we've been taking as we've prepared our hearts and then celebrated the Christmas season. And then we'll soon be introducing a new book of the Bible that we're going to be studying, and that will happen next week. So we are going to, in some sense, end the study that we've had in the Gospel of John and also look forward to where we'll be. But let me just start by saying Merry Christmas, because actually the Christmas season continues. Traditionally, it goes all the way till January 6th, the 12 days of Christmas, until the Epiphany, when the wise men are celebrated as seeing the Lord. So there will be some glance at Christmas today, and then we'll also look ahead, because next time we most likely will see each other will be next year. And so for that, we'll look at the Gospel of John, and we're actually going to kind of survey the entire Gospel of John in a theme that we left off with in our Christmas Eve service, that Jesus is the light of the world. So you can turn to John chapter 12. As you're turning there, I also like to welcome those of you who may be visiting. I met some people visiting with family or friends here for the holidays, here to celebrate Christmas, and you stayed until Sunday. So God bless you. We're grateful you're with our church this morning, and I'm sure there are some of our church that are visiting other places, so we miss you. And I know that they're not just visiting family. I know that some in our church are actually down in Arizona getting ready to celebrate the new year with our hometown team, the Boise State Broncos. And so I don't know if you guys are excited for that, but in light of that, let me start our time in the Word with a little joke for you all. It's the end of the year, so why not? I'm going to pull no punches. I wish I told more jokes, really, but I have to stay sovereign or reverent for the Word. But let's start with a joke. How many Boise State fans does it take to screw in a light bulb? How many just think about it, and then I'll give you the answer. It actually takes 10. One to screw in the light bulb, and then 9 to stand around and talk about the Fiesta Bowl. Because if you know anything about the Boise State Broncos football lore, there are 2 chapters. There are everything before 2007's Great Fiesta Bowl, and then everything after. And once the Fiesta Bowl happened, it changed the story, and everything now is seen through the lens of that great game, and hopefully we have another one coming up. And I bring that up for a reason. One, the topic of light will be on the menu today, so the light bulb joke does work there. 2, there are certain things that happen, and once they happen, everything else is seen through them. And some of you became parents. It's like, now that you're parents, everything is seen through this chapter of your life. Same thing can happen with marriage. Now, all of that is really a picture of Jesus coming into the world. Jesus comes into the world as the light of the world, and when he comes into the world, everything else is seen more clearly by him. In fact, everything is now seen by the light of Jesus in the world. We'll start with a C.S. Lewis quote. It says, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, the sun, but because by it I see everything else." By Jesus coming into the world, we see everything else. And by Jesus coming into your life, you see everything else. That's the idea. And we're going to look at that theme as Jesus says why he came into the world. In the Gospel of John, chapter 12, we see Jesus giving his answer as to why he was sent into the world. We spent the whole month of December over and over again looking at John 3:16. "For God so loved the world, he sent his son." And then Christmas comes, we're like, his son is here. Well, Jesus says, this is why I came. It's not the only answer that he gives as to why he came, but this is an answer for the purposes of our study that gives us everything else. He says, John chapter 12, "I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." Whoever believes in me sees everything else. There's no more darkness for those who have seen the light of Christ. And for this, we actually find both John 3, looking at the light that Jesus was said to have brought into the darkness. John 1 talks about it. And there are specifically 4 times where Jesus says, "I'm the light of the world," throughout the Gospel of John. It's one of the great themes of the Gospel of John, is that Jesus came as the light. This is his last public declaration of him speaking to a crowd, and what he chooses to say is, I'm the light of the world. If you abide in me, you don't have darkness. So today we're going to look at the Gospel of John with the overview of the whole book through the lens of Jesus as the light of the world. And to do that, I want to break this down into what can be seen as not just a survey of the Gospel of John, but actually a survey of all of human history. That human history itself is broken down into four great stages of light entering the world that either points us to Jesus or illuminates who we are in Jesus. So we're going to look at the Gospel of John and the history of the world today, and we're going to get out on time. And so we'll start with the first great stage of human history that is represented by a beam of light, and we see it in the Gospel of John chapter 1. This is speaking of John the Baptist, who came as a forerunner, the one who would point people to Jesus. And in John chapter 1, it says of John the Baptist, he was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming in the world. So the gospel writer is saying, before the true light came, there was a witness of the light. And John the Baptist actually represents all of human history up until the point of Jesus entering into the world. And that whole human history from Genesis to the gospel account of the earthly ministry of Christ when he came into the world could be best seen in the metaphor of moonlight. So stage one of human history is the stage of moonlight. Moonlight is not the light, but it reflects the light. Moonlight itself does not illuminate anything, but it's a reflection of the great light, the sun. And with that metaphor in mind, we actually see all of the Old Testament and everything that was written, all of the prophecies, all of the law, all of the ordinances and the way that God took his people and set them apart and taught them how to live was all a shadow of things to come. Jesus says in John chapter 5, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. He says, you guys search the scriptures. They were all waiting for the Messiah to come, and they knew the scriptures, their Pharisees and their scribes and their lawyers. He says, everything in scripture was pointing to me. You guys already knew this, and this is a great chance for us to do a little bit of year in review of where we've been as a church in the word, because at the beginning of this year in January, we started a book study, as we often do in January, and it was the book of Hebrews. And the book of Hebrews, the whole book, could be a book that you could title The Moonlight of Christ. It's a book that continually points out that now that people have seen Jesus, they've seen the sun. There's no point in going back to the moon. The book of Hebrews takes everything from the way God spoke through prophets and messengers to the law and the temple and the rituals and says all of it was pointing us to Christ. So there's your year in review. Everything we spent 11 months studying in Hebrews can now be boiled down to that one review that it's all pointing to Christ. And for the Hebrews reference point, Hebrews chapter 10. This was the climax of the book, pointing us to Christ, and then it transitions to just a study of following Jesus for the last chapters. But it says, for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices, which they offer year by year, make those who approach perfect. It says the law was a shadow. The law was a shadow. You follow a shadow and you eventually come to where the source of light is. That's the law. That was the priest, a shadow of the high priest. That was the temple, a shadow of the Holy of Holies that Jesus enters into by the blood of Christ. Everything was a shadow until Christ came on the scene. Paul, the Apostle Paul, actually picks this up and shares it with the church in Colossae when he says, so let no one judge you in food or drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come. This is maybe a good time for us to say, let no one judge you for the way that you desire to celebrate the birth of Christ, because sometimes there's judgment because we celebrate on a certain day that probably is not the exact day of his birth, and you can celebrate with all sorts of trappings that have nothing to do with the actual nativity that we see in the Gospel of Luke. But Paul says, don't let people judge you when you celebrate things that point you to Jesus. Just know this, he says, the substance is of Christ. All of the Sabbaths and the feasts and the new moons and anything that people that were living under the moonlight of the Old Testament, everything they did had its substance in the coming of Christ. So from Genesis to Malachi, from all of the prophets of old up to John the Baptist, everything was just a preview of the real light that was to come. And that is why we have this Advent season where we look back on people that were waiting. It's like people that were waiting for the sun to actually rise in the darkness of night. And people who were living in darkness saw a great light. It's a picture of the sun rising. And their season of Advent ended with joy to the world. The Savior has come, and it ushers in an entirely new period of human history that also has a parallel to a stage of light. And this stage of light could be considered the spotlight. This floodlight, this concentration of the high beam of heaven pointing down at one stage of human history. And because it's Christmas, we can now look at another part of the Christmas story. Luke chapter 2 is often celebrated Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, when Jesus came and the shepherds go and they see the sign of a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth, and Mary and Joseph celebrated with a choir of angels. And then the Gospel of Luke continues to tell us what happens as the week follows. On the eighth day, he goes into the temple to be dedicated. And there's a great character in the story of the Bible, a man named Simeon. And it says this man had been waiting his whole life for the consolation of Israel. In other words, he'd been waiting his whole life for the light to shine its brightest. And by God's sovereignty, as Mary and Joseph bring baby Jesus to be dedicated, Simeon, after waiting and being prompted by the Holy Spirit, they have this collision course of sovereignty, and he gets to meet the Messiah, and it's revealed to him that this is the one he's been waiting for. And he actually breaks out into a song of worship. It's the fourth song of worship that the Gospel of Luke records. We have Mary receiving the mission from the angel that she'll be conceiving this child, and she breaks out in song. Zechariah receiving the word that he's gonna be the father of John the Baptist, he breaks out in song. We have the angels meeting the shepherds and their choir of angels breaking out in song. The whole thing is just worship because the light is hitting the stage. And now we have Simeon breaking out in song. And the song lyrics are Luke chapter 2, verse 21. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. According to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people to Israel. The book of Hebrews started by saying that Jesus is now on the scene as the radiance or the brightness of the glory of God. Jesus' earthly ministry is a spotlight for who God is interacting with humanity. And there may be no period of history for 3.5 years that is a greater spotlight of all of academia and all of history, and anyone who would ever look into the timeline of humanity. Those 3.5 years where Jesus was doing his earthly ministry are the spotlight of humanity. And Jesus did come to bring a floodlight in two directions. We talked about it on Christmas Eve. If you're gonna celebrate joy to the world, the Savior has come, you're celebrating that light comes not just to shine down on the manger in Bethlehem, but to shine out onto humanity itself. The Gospel of John says that the light came into the world and the darkness could not overcome it. So first, Jesus shines out into who we actually are. The light of Christ coming into the world like a spotlight shows us, whether you're religious or whether you feel far from God, it shows us that God's spotlight through Christ is shining towards us. And this is why the Gospel of John, in another moment where Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he says it in the context of shining light at people. In a surprising way, one of the great stories in the Bible is John chapter 8. It's called The Woman Caught in Adultery. And it's this moment where Jesus is going to say, I'm the light of the world. But before he says it, a very interesting interaction, one of those traps of the Pharisees comes up. Because they bring a woman trapped or caught in the act of adultery, and they put her at the feet of Jesus. They sit her down, and they hope to find him in some sort of trap because she is caught and the law requires her to be stoned, to be condemned, to be judged. So they'll either prove that Jesus did come to condemn, or they'll prove that Jesus is too merciful to actually be law-abiding. In one of the great moments of Jesus, always with wisdom and the glory of God, sees right through it. He says, he who has no sin, cast the first stone. Jesus came to show the light of sin in every direction, to the most religious and to those who are the farthest in their sin. He shines the light and says, all of you are the same now in my light. All of you. My floodlight comes and exposes every person as in need of forgiveness. And he says to the woman, where are those who condemn you? She says, they've all walked away. I encourage you to read the story. It's a beautiful story. From the oldest to youngest, Jesus writes something on the ground. We don't know what, but it exposes them as people who cannot themselves condemn sinners because they are also sinners. The floodlight has hit everyone. And then Jesus says to her, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. As the people walked away and she says, they've all gone, Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. Now go and sin no more. The floodlight comes and says, you're a sinner. You have met a Savior who does not condemn you, but a Savior who calls you into the light to live now before him, willing to receive his grace and be sanctified from sin. It points at us. And the light also points to the glory of God. Jesus came and in all ways, he interacted with all of humanity and whoever, however you can identify with the people that represent who you are in the story of Jesus' earthly ministry. And he also comes to give this incredible light to the character and the heart of the Father in heaven. He wasn't just coming to expose sin in need of a Savior. He also came to give glory to the mighty hand of God that can save sinners. The next chapter, John chapter 9, we get another one of the quotes, I am the light of the world. And this time, it's not pointed at sinners. It's pointing to the glory of God. Look what it says in John chapter 9. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? The disciples had a great habit of asking the wrong question. We do too sometimes. They just heard the lesson of sinners not being condemned, but to be called out of darkness and into the light, go and sin no more. Their next interaction, they're like, okay, let's talk about sin. And Jesus says, neither this man nor his parents sinned. The light is not just exposing sin, it's also shining to the glory of God. He said, no one sinned, but the works of God should be revealed in him. Jesus came as the visible image of the invisible God. Jesus came as the practical power of the miraculous Father. And Jesus will then go on to say in that same moment, no one sinned. This blindness is here so I can show you the power of God. And then he says, John chapter 9, verse 4, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And as he said these things, he reaches out and heals the man's blindness. That healing was both practical, the man can now see, he's brought light to the retina of the man's eyes, and it was a parable to show the mighty works of God. God can take broken things and make them right. as Jesus will continue down the road of the mighty works of God. He'll say, I'm the light of the world again in the context of walking in the light as he's on his way to heal Lazarus. Another healing that was a parable, practical. Lazarus got to extend his life. He died again, but he got to come out of the grave. But it was a parable. The light that Jesus came to bring was the light of the power of God. God can heal the blind. God can forgive the sinner. God can raise dead man from the grave, and he's going to start by raising his own son. The glory of God revealed in the spotlight of Jesus' earthly ministry. But notice he says, while I am in the world, I am in the light of the world. And Jesus would soon ascend. He would actually go to the cross and take on the darkness of sin. And isn't it interesting that he's born at night and light shines into the darkness of night? He's entered the world. And when he goes to the cross, he dies at midday and everything goes black. It's almost as if God is saying, when Christ is in the world, he's born, there's light at night. He dies, there's darkness in the day. He's the light. He takes on the darkness of our sin and he conquers it, leaves it in the grave, and he ascends on high where he presently sits on the right hand of the Father. He says, I'm the light of the world while I'm in the world. And now that he's in heaven, he says to all of us, third stage of human history, the present era, John chapter 12, verse 36, while you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. And he gathers his disciples and anyone to listen, and those who believe in him become sons and daughters of light. And he says, now you are the light of the world. The present era of human history can be described as starlight. It is the light that is meant to shine in the darkness of the world. As Jesus leaves the world, he gives his light to those who believe, and he calls us now to be the reconcilers of the darkness of humanity as lights in the world. Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Then he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I don't know if you're looking for a new year, new verse, but this would be a great verse to consider how it would rearrange your life entering into a new year. Let your light, by believing in God, you've got the floodlight of Christ on your life. And he says, let your life shine in such a way that people see the way you live, the good works that you walk in, that Christ has prepared beforehand. And now your life brings glory. It points the spotlight to the Father in heaven. The present era is like stars shining in the dark. The world that we live in is still dark, but God has his little stars illuminating his light throughout the darkness of our world. This is how Paul says in Philippians, do things without complaining and disputing that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in the midst of a dark generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Those of us who believe have received the floodlight of Christ shed into our hearts, illuminating our mind, the revelation of the Gentiles to the glory of God. And God now says, now you are the light in the dark. And so these are the three phases before we look at the final era that we wait for. We have moonlight. Everything is pointing to the coming day when God will send his son into the world. Moonlight. And then you have the spotlight, 3.5 years where the stage of human history is shining on the visible image of God through Christ. And then you have the starlight. In this world, you'll have trouble and it will be dark, and the year 2025 will not be without reminders that the world is not fully illuminated by the light of Christ, but God has his people. Those who believe have become sons of light, daughters of light, and you now shine like stars in the dark. And I pause here because we just looked at the history of the world and a survey of the Gospel of John in three major acts of light. Moonlight, spotlight, starlight. And that isn't just the history of humanity. That's actually the history of every person that God has sent by his grace the opportunity to hear of the goodness of God. Every one of us, before we were saved, were walking under the moonlight that reflected the glory of God. We were hearing things. We were listening to different things that were pointing us to who Jesus actually is. Some of you may be in the moonlight now. The light of Christ has not fully illuminated your life. And you hear a sermon. You sit next to a believing friend or neighbor or family member. And they are previews of what will happen to your life. They're pointing you. They're trying to get you to see their reflection is actually a reflection of the goodness of God. And then those of you who believe, you had an interaction with God where the floodlight came. It says that God, in his mercy, transfers us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light of his Son, where we get the flood of the gospel that illuminates our whole life. The flood, the spotlight comes into your life, and you see Jesus not just as someone you've heard about, not just as a good moral teacher, not just about someone that was born on a Christmas tradition and rose again on an Easter tradition. You see Jesus as the light that illuminates everything now. By Christ, you now see everything. He has become the spotlight of your heart and your mind. And because of that, you now hear the message of stars shining in the dark, and you once again are called to the darkness. It gives you revelation even to the area of your life that is not yet perfected by the glory of God. You have darkness in your family. You're a star for them. You have darkness in the place of your work, in your neighborhood, in all of the influence of your life. You now see this stage of your life through the light of Christ, that he has sent you into the world as he was sent into the world. And wherever you're at in that stage of light coming into your life, it is all pointing to the light of the world, who is Christ and Christ alone. Which brings us to the stage we're waiting for. I think it's worth thinking about this as another year is going to be put into the books and another year is starting. And so oftentimes we can zoom in on our little calendar of our lives and how quickly they go. And so fast, you're going to be brought into a much bigger picture of history. And it is all pointing every one of us to the final stage. I think it might be a good tradition. Maybe every year we end our final Sunday by remembering the way the whole story ends. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb in the middle of its street. And on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. And verse 5 says, there shall be no more night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. We go from moonlight to spotlight to starlight to sunlight, when the final day will be ushered in. And it says there will be no need for the star to illuminate. There will be no more night where the sun sets and then rises again, and we're waiting and we're waiting. Once and for all, God in all his glory will shine like the fullness of day, and we will see everything clearly in the light of the goodness and the glory of God. That is the era that we wait for, when everything will be seen through the light of Christ. And Jesus says of this time in John chapter 12, that then Jesus said to him, a little while longer, the light was with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. So I want you to consider the era we live in. It says, walk in the light while there's still light. The day is coming when your little opportunity to walk in the light, to look at Jesus as the illumination of everything in your life, says the day is coming when darkness will be the end of the story for some people. And I say this because so often we think, okay, New Year, what should I work on? He who walks in darkness has no idea where he's going. We just read it. If you have not entered into the spotlight of Christ on your life, if you have not pursued him as the only way that you can know the way to live, the truth of how reality works, the deepest life and life more abundant, all found in Christ, you are in darkness. And someone walking in darkness has no idea where they're going. It's a practical lesson. So it doesn't matter what you have planned for the upcoming year, the upcoming season of your life. If you are not fully standing in the light of Christ, the way, the truth, the life, the answer to everything in your life, he who walks in darkness has no idea where he's going. Walk in the light. There's coming a time, and it's going by so quick, when all of these messages, the reflections of Christ pointing you to the real light, will be over. It's another year in the books. Another year that's gone by so fast, another year where some of you are like, I'm still investigating, I'm still thinking, I'm still wondering. There's coming a day when the brightness of God's glory will outshine everything. There will be no night, there will be no darkness, and the sons of light will live forever with him, and those who walked in darkness will not have any reflection of light anymore. The only resolution you ever need to make is to live in the light of the reality of Christ in your life. And so I said we'd do a little preview of where we are going in the upcoming year. To believe that there is a coming sunrise, to believe that the glory of God is going to consume the earth and that we're going to live with him forever, to believe that night will be done away day with and darkness will be overcome once and for all. In this present area is to have faith that Jesus, the light of the world, is going to be the eternal glory that we're all going to live under. To have that kind of faith means you have hope, you have joy, that no darkness will overcome you, that no trial or tribulation of the upcoming year will overwhelm you, that the light of God is with you. He's lighting your path and leading you to eternity. You must have faith that that is the end of the story. And for that reason, I'll read to you a final verse for your meditation, for the waiting of the final era. And it is coming from what we're going to be spending the majority of our next year looking at least the first part of the year. It's from 1 Timothy. And so we're going to be studying the book of 1 Timothy. It's a beautiful book that shines light on so many different areas of the practical Christian life. It's a book that shines light into sin and the wrestling with temptation, and shines light into the functions of church and godly leadership. It shines light into the relationship we have with the world and money. It shines light into who you are in Christ. And so as an end of this year and a preview of next, I'll read to you 1 Timothy chapter 6. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you are also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. Live in the light. Do not allow any of the upcoming darkness and challenges dissuade you from the end of the story, eternal life, which you lay hold of. That's what we're going to be looking at next year. And that's a beautiful way to usher in a new year, to get ready for the good fight of faith until Christ comes again.